Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And now, more than ever, as we adapt to a time that has us leaning into our community with support, we find folks are ever more invested in the lives of others. Today, we are talking about the critical need for housing that's been laid bare by the coronavirus. Permanent, affordable, healthy, low-cost housing is urgently needed. Jefferson County Habitat for Humanity offers that opportunity. We have with us Executive Director Jamie Maciejewski, and she is here to catch us up on how they are doing. Jamie, welcome to our show today.
Thank you.
I am so glad you could take a little bit of time with us, and I am looking forward to hearing how the Habitat for Humanity is doing in Jefferson County. Just, if you wouldn't mind, just give us a little highlight, an overview of the organization in Jefferson County, a little bit about how long it's been here and how many homes you may have built.
Love to, Missy. Habitat for Humanity began in this community in 1998 when the first house was completed. Since then, we have built 50 homes, and in fact, we celebrated house number 50 on June 30. We're really excited about that. 50 families are living in affordable housing because this community really cares about it.
You mentioned in some of our previous conversation, you have how many homes going at the point when we had our shutdown?
We had 4 homes going in March when we had the shutdown. And in fact, the week that construction was shut down throughout the state, we were going to begin 2 more. So we would have had 6 homes going. Really, really sad. All 6 of those homeowner partner families have already been selected. They had already been working their sweat equity. 2 of those homes were really close to being finished when we had to shut down. So House 50 was one of those. We've started back up on it. It's done now. House 51 is in Port Havelock. That's underway fully, and it should be complete by the time summer is done, and we'll be back on the next 2 after that.
So you're re-engaged on the continuing homes, and, you know, we hear the number of homes, but I like to think about these are families. There's a number of people that were impacted by the shutdown. It's just not a home. The 5 or 6 homes you're talking about impacted a group of almost 20 people.
A really important,
roughly
not 20, but some our homes are for people, families. Some of them larger, some of them smaller, and it was a huge impact. And of course, they've been impacted too. We work with a lot of homeowner partners who are in the service economy in our community, and we know that the service economy jobs were hit very hard with the shutdown, restaurant jobs, for example, and other tourism sector jobs. So those families have not just been waiting for their homes, but some of them have been waiting for their job to come back.
And they were displaced from work. Did any of these folks find them displaced from housing, having anticipated their home to be completed?
Fortunately not. Fortunately, they were still housed, but not in good housing. The housing that they've been in has been too expensive or overcrowded or temporary, but none of them were put onto the street.
And I guess it would be important for us to remind our listeners the partnership with the Habitat for Humanity, with the families that take ownership of it. Talk a little bit about the process of applying for it and what their contribution is and how you define a partner in that process.
Love to. Partnership is a really important term for us because the Habitat for Humanity doesn't give away houses. It really works with people who want to solve their housing situation, people who are very key in our community. They hold jobs in our community that are needed. They are part of our community. And so people come to us and go through an orientation. In fact, we have set up to do virtual orientations now. Once they go through and they apply, they do need to have a stable source of income. What that source of income is can range from through a number of different things, but the housing that they currently have is not adequate to meet their needs. It might be too expensive, it might be temporary, as I said, it might be in poor condition and they can't afford something that's better. So they come to us, we go through an application process, do a selection, and then they go through education and sweat equity hours, working with volunteers in the community who also help build the houses, and through that process, and then they apply for financing. Also, they get a mortgage approval, and we sell the house to them at an amount that they can afford.
Now, what is the timeline for an application? Do you have a once-a-year application request for applications, or is it a reoccurring timeline?
We generally have 2 to 3 times a year when we accept applicants. We were in the middle of an application process when the shutdown happened, and we had to close that application and deny everybody in it because we weren't able, as I said, to move forward on those homes that were coming. So we hope to reopen that. We actually are in the middle now of a selection process for a home that we that's already been built, that another family lived in and sold back to us when they moved away, and we are we expect that selection will already be complete in by the later part of July. So we would encourage people who are interested to contact us. We get people going right away once they are in touch with applying for their financing and working with us, so that as soon as we're ready to open a new round of selection, they'll be ready.
That's interesting. I did not realize a component of the Habitat for Humanity is that you might have a family move away and then it's sold back. The purchaser, do they have their invested hours as a partnership in another home, or how do you get that partnership to be incorporated when it's a purchased, repurchase, resale?
That's a great question. They still do have the same number of sweat equity hours. Many of those hours will be done on another home that's getting built, but some of those hours are done on the home that they're purchasing. There might need to be repainting. There might need to be landscape refreshing and work, maybe some other minor repairs that are happening. So they will continue to do that work just the same as they were purchasing a new home.
It occurred to me, you know, in that circumstance, there is so much value from that partnership, the community building, the people that you interface with in terms of other volunteers helping to make your home. I would feel a little bit shortchanged, even though it's all done. There is that element that would change. I'm glad to hear that there's a way for them to connect with the home ownership process and the home creation process. If you are just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and you are listening to KPTZ 91.9. We are speaking with Jamie Maciejewski, Executive Director of the Habitat for Humanity of East Jefferson County. Jamie, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the other services that you offer, which we don't really talk that much about. I understand that sometimes the Habitat for Humanity in Jefferson County partners with homeowners for critical home repair, or there are areas of support for the existing homeowners who have completed their homes. So emergency repairs, could you talk about that?
I'd love to. In Quilcene and Brennan, we partner with homeowners who need repairs on their homes in order to continue living there. These aren't Habitat for Humanity homes. We didn't build them, but these families are living there and need critical repairs done in order to have their home preserved. We do repairs in that area of the county that are things like replacing a well pump that's gone out or replacing a roof. We have redone electrical systems or installed heating systems. Many of our applicants in the South County are older and people who would have done their own work at some point in their lives, but now that's not possible any longer. So we love to work with people. We encourage people who are in Quilcene or Brennan to call us if they have an emergency repair. Right now, during COVID, we are doing repairs that are restricted to emergencies. After COVID and before it, we do a little bit more extensive. We address other things as well that aren't emergencies at this time, but are critical to the house remaining a good place to live.
Are you able to do that during this time when there's such a reduction of our opportunities to interface directly? Are you able to continue emergency repairs at this time?
We are. The reason we're restricting it to emergency repairs is because people are less comfortable having someone come in their home to do repairs for good reason. So if an emergency, though, if your plumbing is leaking and you can't fix it yourself, you need someone to come fix that. And we will do it, and we work really hard to do that in as safe a manner as possible so that we keep our homeowners safe and our staff and volunteers safe.
Well, this might be a good time for you to share a number or contact a website for those listeners who have been intrigued by the idea of the availability of Habitat for Humanity or are in need of that service or just knowing your contact information.
Sure. Our website is habitatejc.org. The EJC is for East Jefferson County. You can find more information there. You can also email us, homes@habitatejc.org, or phone us and leave a message, 360-379-2827. Someone will get back to you.
Now, you may have already mentioned this, but I'm always curious, what are some of the most common misconceptions about your organization that you hear from folks?
Well, one of the most common misconceptions that people have is that we give homes away to people. We don't give homes away. We work with people and people work with us. They pay a mortgage. It's an affordable mortgage so that not more than a third of their income is spent on housing. And people work really hard at this. So that's one of the most common misconceptions. Another one is that only poor people need housing help. But that's actually far from true. People in this economy, in our community, there's a huge number of workers who are in our county that just can't afford the typical rent or mortgage payment that there is.
Well, as you talk about partnerships, we haven't really had much time to talk about volunteering, and I know you've had to make some significant pivots to getting these homes built. Typically, you rely on folks that come through perhaps their organizations that they belong to. Where are you tapping into for volunteers, and how is that coming along?
We have volunteers that are back building now. We are using a lot of safety protocols to keep people safe during a time that we all know we have to be especially cautious. So we have reduced the number of volunteers on the job site at any given time so that we can really keep our distance between one another. We have expanded the number of days a week that we're building just to spread people out and keep going. So those are a couple of pivots. Another pivot we're really excited about, we have an opportunity for two positions that for people that will serve as AmeriCorps member. That's like the version of the Peace Corps that's local, where people can serve for 11 months, receive a stipend, earn an education award at the end that they can apply to further education, and during their time with us over almost a year, they'll develop skills in construction, in supervision and leadership, in safety, and in affordable housing nonprofit work. Really exciting opportunities. We hope that there might be a couple of college students who are thinking of a gap year, given the challenges with in-person college for the foreseeable future, maybe, and would love to talk to you. Our recruitment is open into August, and we hope you'll give us a call at the same number, 360-379-2827, to find out more about that and pass that along. We'd love your help in finding a couple of AmeriCorps members that help bolster our volunteer corps.
That is a fantastic silver lining. I've been recently talking to a few of those college students in town who are grappling with lost internships and swimming about a little bit trying to find a fit. So I really think that is such an exciting thing. Jamie, in our last few minutes, anything we've left on the table, I hope we can have you on again, but the phone number you just gave out, volunteers, they can be reaching you, but you also have a volunteer coordinator they might be contacting?
We do. Amy, you can reach by emailing volunteer@habitatejc.org or by calling that phone number, 379-2827. Amy would love to get you signed up either on the job site or something else. Our Habitat store it needs volunteers, and we're happy to have you come on board.
Jamie Maciejewski, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule, and I do hope we have a chance to check in with you in the future.
Missy, thank you. I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and I'm looking forward to hearing from your listeners.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, maybe pick up a hammer for the Habitat for Humanity, and make it a great day. Yeah.